Yes, it is so good to be together, and I am on, I believe. I'm on. Okay, good. It's good to have Greg and Candace with us today from the church in Secunda. Just over the last few years, God has really linked our heart with this couple, and they're kind of like our kids, really, spiritual kids, and we just love it. And then Kathy Melson, if you wanted the perfect job description, Kathy Melson's on staff in a church as the pastor of prophetic and healing. And so a little bit later, I think she's probably got a prophetic word to release over this body, and we'll get to that. But just so good to travel with friends, and we're privileged to have Kathy travel in this last half of this trip with us, and just a great, great friend. I want to talk about something today that when I first start, I'm going to ask you not to switch off. But I have come to believe that to sustain the awakening we're stepping into, we are going to have to come to a new understanding of an uncomfortable word, humility. I believe that God is asking for an extreme humility. And I believe that if we can redefine this word that we tend to use but we mostly misuse, if we can redefine this word, I believe we're going to start seeing some of the most incredible breakthroughs through our lives. Humility, in many of our dictionary definitions, talks about things internal in us. And actually, that's not at all what biblical humility is. Humility has much more to do with our focus than it does with self-analyzing. Catherine Kuhlman, who walked in incredible miracles, incredible anointing, said that whenever you find love, you'll always find humility. And he said, we must not misunderstand humility as weakness, because actually humility comes out of great security and great strength. And so I want to just take a few minutes and look at some scripture and just focus ourselves, and then we're gonna pray for the sick this morning. We're going to do some other things. But I just want to start with this. So if you'd turn with me, if you have your Bible, if you'd turn with me to the book of Philippians, let's just look at chapter 2 and verse 3 just for a moment. We're going to look at several verses in this chapter. So, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. So let's just start with the opposite of humility, because that listed in that verse. The opposite of humility is pride, selfishness, self-centeredness, all of those things that focus attention or focus life or focus direction on ourselves. In this awakening, what's happening is God is taking this amazing identity that he's given us in Christ. We stand as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. But having understood our identity and stood in that incredible position, we then turn everything we have outward and focus it on other people. C.S. Lewis says this about humility. He says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not putting yourself down. Humility is thinking of yourself less. So it's getting our focus off of us and onto the other person. Let's just practice for a minute. When you're faced with somebody that needs prayer, why don't you pray for them? Generally, we're afraid how we're going to look. We're afraid that it might not happen. We're afraid that they won't get healed. And the fears, the restriction, is that we're focused on ourselves, not focused on that person. And there's an extreme humility that God is walking us into that is going to turn our full attention onto the person in front of us, onto the person next to us. And that's actually the nature of true love. We'll get to that a little bit later this morning. But too often our love is about what you do for me. instead of what I do for you. And true love is a love that says, I'm doing this for you no matter what it costs me. God's looking for an extreme humility. There's only two times in Scripture that Jesus said somebody had great faith. In both of those situations, the people speaking were approaching with a realistic understanding of who they were. The centurion comes and he's asking for healing for his servant. The focus was not on the centurion, the focus was on the servant. He said, you don't even have to come to my house. All you got to do is speak a word. Jesus said, that's great faith. The second one was the Syrophoenician woman when she was looking for deliverance for her daughter. And in that again, Jesus said, you've got great faith. The focus is on that other person. That's the faith that God's working us to right now. I find it fascinating sometimes that the science in the world sometimes catches up with the Bible. Not always, but sometimes they catch up with the Bible. And in this particular arena, science is actually starting to catch up. There's a branch of psychology that's really looking at the effects of humility and what humility does. And there's a whole bunch of studies released in the last few years that talk about the health benefits of humility and the fact that you do better at work and you're a better boss and you have better social relationships and your marriages last longer. There's a whole list of things that science has understood humility produces. One of the fascinating ones to me was that there's a whole study done that shows that humble people are less open to deception. Fascinating. I had to go read the article, but it was because your focus is on them and you're loving that person, your focus on them, you understand when something's coming across that's not true because you're not focused on yourself. In that particular article, the last part of that article, the psychologist said humble people have developed this uncanny ability to forget themselves. That's extreme humility. That's the kind of humility that begins to release signs and wonders. Because our focus comes off ourself and our focus gone to blessing and loving and bringing that other person into freedom. And God is right now equipping the body of Christ to begin to walk in extreme humility. See, too often in church, we actually spend time focused on our need to get whole before we minister to somebody else. I want to suggest to you that humility says minister first and get whole in the process. And so instead of waiting until you're fixed, why don't you focus on doing it for somebody else? And in that process of pouring your life out for others, those pieces that need to kind of come off of us will happen in that process. If we want to see a nation changed, it's going to take extreme humility. It's going to take every member of the body of Christ focusing themselves on the well-being, on the healing, on the release, on the salvation, on everything that somebody else needs, and not worrying too much about ourselves. What would it be like in church if every one of us was focused on meeting each other's needs? Every need in the room would get met. But too often we come in hoping that our needs get met. And that self-focus, and listen, please, it's not wrong to know that we have needs that get met, that need to be met. That's not wrong. But if all I live for is my needs getting met, I will never, ever fulfill the call of God on my life. I will never, ever accomplish my purpose. There's an extreme humility that takes the focus off of us and it puts it on others. Just jump down to the next verse. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So it's not denying the fact that I have interests, But it's saying, live in such a way that your focus is on them. When I start doing that, it frees me from this self-awareness that keeps me from really loving other people. It frees me from the restrictions of being afraid how I look. When you're in extreme humility, you don't care how you look anymore. You just care that they get touched with the power and life of God. The more we do that, the more we're going to see extraordinary things happening. I believe over those last several months, God just, it's been a several month process that just every time I wake up, humility is on my mind, because I think God is releasing something that we've not understood. Too often, humility has been putting ourselves down. An insecure person can never be humble, because insecurity will always focus me on trying to make myself secure. By definition, insecurity makes me self-focused. So we had to come through this season of understanding our identity as sons and daughters, because only then can we turn around and lay that identity down. Which, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Look at the very next verse. Have this attitude in yourself, verse 5, which was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of the bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. What's he doing? He's positionally a son. He has everything. Extreme humility says, I'm going to leave that and focus 100% on you so that you can come back into relationship with the God I have relationship with. That's the nature of what God is injecting into the body of Christ right now. It's a shift off of ourselves and a shift onto pouring ourselves into others. There is literally a death to self that's happening. And it's causing us to begin to live the whole of our lives with a sense of extreme poured outness for the sake of the body of Christ awakening and the body of Christ being released out into the world. I've stood in this church and in New Day over in West Rand, I am so aware of an awakening that is breaking on us in this moment. I can't tell you where it is. I can feel that we're at that moment of awakening. But I think that there's a decision. Please don't pray a prayer. Please don't ever pray, God, humble me. There's no prayer in Scripture that says, God, humble me. The only thing it says in Scripture is, humble yourself. So it's my choice to take my focus off of me and put it on other people. It's Christ's choice to take his focus off his position and come to earth to lay down his life so that we could come into relationship with the living God. And now he's asking us to lay down ourselves in a death to self and walk, step into an extreme humility where the whole of our life is focused on other people coming into relationship with that amazing God, other people being touched by the power of God, other people walking into a relationship. That's the nature of this awakening. And I just, we are watching it begin to happen. We're watching it begin to be released. We're watching people step up into their destiny, watching people step into this amazing place. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by coming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Invitation to the church today is very simple. Are we willing to walk in that kind of extreme humility so that other people can be touched with the power and presence of God? Can we choose to die to ourselves? We've come into this amazing revelation of identity. your son or daughter. You have this amazing position. We have access to the resources of heaven. We have access to all this amazing, amazing grace and love and all the other pieces we have. In the next session, we're going to talk about the way humility is a key to accessing a lot of the benefits that we have in Scripture. Humility is actually a key that accesses it. But in this service, it's just, God, can we lay our lives down for the sake of somebody else getting touched by the power and presence of God? If you're in this room this morning and you don't know Christ, this morning's invitation is going to be real simple. Come lay your life down. Come lay your life down. There's no better thing you could do with your life then lay it down for the sake of somebody else. In marriages, if your relationship's struggling, if you will invite extreme humility into your marriage, you'll begin to focus on the needs of the other person instead of being so frustrated that your needs aren't being met. If we lived our life focused on meeting their needs and they lived their life focused on meeting your needs, we would have some most incredible marriages on earth. But too often we get stuck on that spot where I don't feel like my needs are being met, and it becomes all about me. It becomes all about my needs, and pretty soon I don't want you anymore because you're not meeting my needs. Y'all with me this morning? Are we in the same room? Extreme humility says, I deliberately put my needs to the side for the sake of meeting your needs. I deliberately walk in a position of humility. See, that's incredible strength. You can't do that from insecurity. You do it from security. So it's important to know who we are, but knowing who we are, we now lay our lives down and say, it's all about you. It's all about your life being released. It's all about what God wants to do in you in this hour, in this moment, in this season. Verse 9. Therefore God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that was above every name. If you want to be great in the kingdom, we humble ourselves and lay down our life for other people. I believe that when we stand before him and we watch who is acknowledged in heaven, I think we're going to be in for some real surprises. Because I think there are some laid down lovers of Jesus that are never going to be seen by anybody, but have spent their entire lives laying down their lives for other people. And that's what God's looking for. In this church, in this body of people, I believe God's going to choose people that have chosen to walk a selfless lifestyle. That doesn't mean putting yourself down. Please stop hearing humility that way. Humility is not talking bad about yourself. That's the opposite of humility. That's actually pride. When you're always talking about yourself, that's pride. It feels humble because you're putting yourself down, but that's not biblical humility. Biblical humility is knowing who you are in God, a son, a daughter, the King of Kings, but then deliberately saying, I'm going to live my life to see other people touched with the power and presence of the risen Jesus. I believe God is anointing this church to begin to reach out into society in so many, many ways. He's going to anoint you to walk into your workplace and begin to touch people with the power of God because you don't care about yourself anymore. All around the world, societies are struggling to figure out how they relate to Christianity. And we have people in every profession who are carrying the power and presence of God into those places, and they've got to figure out how you do this, but they're doing it. We have teachers in the public school that are figuring out how to present Jesus over and over and over and over and over again. I had a dream about Louise, who was on the worship team. And last night I saw her singing. As she was singing in her place of employment, people were actually getting healed, and they didn't know why they were getting healed. Because there was a release of the life of God out into that grouping of people who didn't even know why they were there. That's going to start happening in every single part of society as people start living selfless with extreme humility. I don't even know what extreme humility is yet, but I think we're going to find out. I think we're going to walk into a season where God's just going to ask us to be completely unselfish, get the focus totally off us and onto other people. What a privilege to walk with Greg and Hensie in this season. What a privilege to lay down our lives in intercession for them. That's a part of humility. Pouring our life into somebody else.